Are you looking for ways to strengthen your marriage? Would you like to raise children you enjoy being around? Do you long for a peaceful, orderly home that's a blessing to everyone who comes through its doors? Then you've come to the right place. I'm Jennifer Flanders, a Bible-believing, homeschooling mother to 12 and host of the Loving Life at Home podcast. Join me as we discover what God's Word has to say about marriage, motherhood, and minding the things that matter most. Hello, friend. Welcome to episode 44 of Loving Life at Home. Today, we are discussing ways to cultivate friendship between siblings. But before I delve into my top tips for teaching kids to love and appreciate their brothers and sisters, I want to give you an update on our recent trip. We just got back from an 18-day, 5,400-mile road trip in a van packed with people. My husband and me, three of our kids, actually make that four, because one of our adult daughters surprised us by flying into Denver, Colorado to meet us after she finished. She's a nurse and she finished her 12-hour shifts. She works three a week and was able to arrange them in such a way that she could fly into Denver as we passed through that city and then flew out from Rapid City, South Dakota the following week. So we had two parents, four children, three grandchildren, and my mother. That makes 10 people all together in a van averaging 300 miles a day. And we all lived to talk about it. That's despite getting stuck for about an hour on a very steep, very icy, very treacherous mountain pass right outside of Yellowstone as we watched a long line of about 50 cars ahead of us slip and slide all over the slick roadway as they inched their way down that frozen road, and they would veer dangerously close to deep snowdrifts on one side and sheer drop-offs on the other. But we prayed and we white-knuckled our way all the way back down into the valley, and God was so faithful to protect us and keep us safe. But He also blessed us with happy trails and safe travels through the entire trip, through the plains and deserts as well. And He kept the entire group in good humor throughout that lengthy trip, which, if you've ever traveled with kids, you know is just as impressive and miraculous as our safe passage down that snowy mountain. As I said, my mother was traveling with us, which she often does. She's 86 and she loves getting to travel with us. And she always tells her friends that the thing she enjoys most about these long road trips is seeing how well our kids get along with each other. This time we took our Spanish lessons with us to do in the car, and we use a set of CDs called Pimsleur Speak and Read Essential Spanish that we bought about 20 years ago and we absolutely love. The program's still available, but I don't think it's sold in CDs anymore. I think you have to get a subscription. But my mom is so funny. When we were recounting our high points and low points at the end of the trip on our way home, she told us her low point was falling asleep during our foreign language lessons every day. So she still doesn't know how to ask how much a beer cost in Spanish. We're all a bunch of teetotalers, so I doubt any of us will need to use that phrase anytime soon. But those of us who stayed awake for the lesson did learn it. And we also learned how to order cold water to drink and ask directions to the bathroom and exchange courtesies with native speakers and important stuff like that. So the lessons were useful. But back to the topic at hand, Nana is not the first person to have noticed that our kids normally get along with one another very well. In fact, my husband and I are often asked how we go about fostering friendship between our children. Sure, they have occasional squabbles, but that's the exception rather than the rule. For the most part, they really do love and admire one another and enjoy being in each other's company. They're friends. Whenever people ask us how that came to be the case, we're quick to credit God's inexhaustible grace. It's a heartfelt answer, but not particularly helpful. So for parents who are searching additional ways to encourage a deep and lasting friendship between their children, we offer these 8 practical suggestions. First is turn off the TV, or in modern times, put away electronic devices. There are 2 problems with the content that many kids are surfing and scrolling and streaming these days. The first is all the negative influences both children and adults encounter online through games and movies and social media and other programs. Fortunately, back when my husband and I first started our family, there was no such thing as a smartphone, and we didn't have personal computers either. So the only digital content that our kids were exposed to was in the form of movies and television programming. As providence would have it, though, our TV blew up within a year or two of our getting married, and we never replaced it. However, we did sometimes see sitcoms and such when we would travel, and we were often appalled at how poorly family members treated one another, even on shows billed as family-friendly. Yet every snide remark was rewarded with liberal doses of canned laughter. If our children are raised on a steady diet of such fare, it shouldn't surprise us when they emulate what they've been watching. And of course, today, kids have often a lot more to navigate in a digital landscape loaded with landmines, such as cyberbullying and addictive social media and easily accessible porn and myriad time wasters that are absolutely destroying our kids' mental health as well as their ability to cultivate real-life relationships. But that's only the first problem of raising kids in an environment dominated by screens. The second problem is just as serious, and that is distraction. Even if the programming is good and wholesome and educational, allowing children to spend too much time staring at screens precludes more meaningful real-life interaction with their own family members. So switch off that TV set, pocket the smartphones, and put away the tablets and gaming consoles, and teach your kids to have fun in the real world instead. You can do this by doing my second tip, which is play games together. When you enter into your child's world through play, you send them the message that you enjoy being with them, and those warm feelings not only get sent right back to you, but they also get shared with one another. So don't just ask your kids to put away their digital devices. Pocket yours as well in favor of spending time together, talking face to face, working side by side, playing together, and having lots of fun. A few of our family's favorite games include board games and dominoes, puzzles, ping pong, bananagrams, I especially love that one, spoons, knockout, chess, checkers, tea parties, ultimate frisbee, the hat game, putt-putt golf, battleship, sow clover, and just about any kind of contest or competition any of us could dream up in the moment. We did a lot of playing together over the last couple of weeks while we were traveling, and we kept a whole bag of Tootsie Rolls and other treats in the front seat of the car to use as prizes for those contests. We timed each other running obstacle courses. We staged foot races and cubits tournaments. We took trivia tests, shot baskets, played Marco Polo, did Spanish lessons together. At one museum we visited, the Tri-State Museum in Belle Fourche, South Dakota, was such a worthwhile stop, incidentally, and completely free. They had a huge outdoor granite map that marked the geographical center of the U.S., but it also formed the basis of a couple of great geography challenges that we made up while we were visiting. First, we staged a geography bee where each person in turn had to name the capital city of whatever state it called out next. Then the last person standing won the candy bar. After that, I drop a small piece of wood on the map, and the first person to correctly identify whatever state it landed on earned a point. Then the first one to get to 10 points won the game. My kids are especially good at dreaming up original games to play and new ways to challenge one another, which brings me to my next tip. Number three is allow for kid-directed adventures. Sometimes our kids dream up things to do that don't include mom and dad. When they were little, they'd ask to make blanket forts in the living room or build mud huts in the greenbelt out of sticks and vines that they hauled home from the woods, or they'd want to ride bikes around the block or to the gas station for a treat or to the bookstore to browse or see how deep a hole that they could dig in our backyard. They'd want to go on a hike through bamboo forests or down to the creek for a picnic or build bicycle ramps or bake peanut butter cookies or sell lemonade on the street corner. And I'd say yes to such adventures as often as I possibly could because I well remember what a great time I had doing similar things when I was little. I was fortunate to have grown up in an age where I was allowed to do lots of things like that by myself. I only had one sister, but she preferred to stay at home and play with her dolls or help our mom in the kitchen. So come Saturday morning, I would pack a sack lunch and head to the park two blocks from home and spend the whole day there playing on the playground all by myself and hunting tadpoles in the creek and trying to walk my bike across fallen logs to get to the other side of the stream. Of course, most of us couldn't imagine giving a young child that kind of unsupervised freedom these days, but I have no problem sending my kids off in a group for that kind of adventures. I think that's another advantage of having a lot of children. They provide built-in playmates for one another, and they allow for safe, fun, unsupervised adventures, even in this day and age. As long as the things our kids ask to do are feasible and reasonably safe, we try to say yes to their request. Not only do those sorts of adventures build character and maturity and confidence, but they bond siblings together in a special way that parent-directed activities alone cannot do. The wonderful thing is, when they grow up interacting this way, they continue to plan adventures together even when they're older, only now their adventures last longer or are more elaborate and are, for the most part, self-funded. A group of kids might drive to Dallas to see Nana for the weekend or meet in New Braunfels to go tubing or go to Tennessee to attend a conference together or go camping in Arkansas or biking in Grapevine or hiking in Colorado or running a half marathon together in Fort Worth. I could go on and on. It seems like every time I turn around, another child is planning some adventure and trying to talk his or her siblings and or mom and dad into tagging along for the ride. Then my fourth tip is to deal with conflict swiftly. When arguments do break out or squabbles arise or feelings get hurt, as inevitably happens from time to time, we do our best to deal with the situation quickly. Ignoring conflicts only allows bad attitudes to fester. We've found that our children's behavior dramatically improves when consequences for misbehavior are swiftly and consistently applied. A zero-tolerance policy for fighting, that's what families need. I plan to eventually do an entire podcast on stopping sibling squabbles. But for right now, I will link an article in today's show notes that addresses that issue specifically. And my fifth tip for encouraging friendship between siblings is, although this one should probably be much closer to the top, is to hide the word in their hearts. I firmly believe that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, as it tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16. And so to that end, the more of the word that we can plant deep in our children's hearts, the more fruit that we're going to see it bear in their lives. Some particularly good verses to memorize are Proverbs 17:17. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. Or Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Or 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, and be compassionate and humble. Or how about Psalm 133:1? Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. Or 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build each other up. Do you remember this song that Steve Green used to teach that one to kids? Encourage one another and build each other up. Build each other up. Build each other up. Encourage one another and build each other up. Up, 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 up. We would memorize Bible verses like these and do our best to live them out. Many times when my kids struggle in this department, I would give them an assignment. Make a list of 10 nice things that you can do for this sibling that you keep butting heads with. Then pick a different thing off your list and do one for them each and every day for the next week and a half. That way, I wasn't just telling them to stop fighting, but I was giving them a tool to help replace that bad habit of bickering with a good habit of being kind. I think that's an important trade-off. If you just erase the bad behavior without providing a good alternative, you create a void. And in times of stress or frustration, the bad is going to rush right back in and fill that void. But when we replace the bad with something good and pleasant, the good behavior we desire has a much better chance of sticking. I'll link the pretty little blank list that I used for this exercise in today's show notes in case you want to give it a try with your kids. And I'll also link my best Bible memory tips if you want to purpose to hide more of God's word in their heart. Then my sixth tip for helping siblings become better friends is another one that, for me, is much closer to the top in practice, which is exactly where it deserves to be, and that is to commit the matter to prayer. We can encourage our kids to love and be kind to one another until we are blue in the face, but only God can change their hearts to make those desired attitudes and actions a reality. So enlist His help. Pray that He will knit the hearts of your family together and give you, as parents, wisdom in training your children to be compassionate and sympathetic companions to one another. Here again, if you don't know where to start, I'll link some resources in the show notes today. I have beautiful Bible-based prayer guides for every stage of your child's life, and you can download every single one of them for free. There, you'll find guides for praying for your child from head to toe, praying for your teens, praying for your adult children, for your unborn babies, for your grandchildren, even a 31-day prayer challenge for parents with a different scripture to pray over your progeny every day of the month. So check out the show notes if you'd like to take advantage of that free offer. Then my seventh tip, I've got to say it, is to consider homeschooling if you can. Siblings and modern families are apart for so many hours every day. They're divided into age-segregated classrooms and involved in individualized extracurricular activities. They're housed in separate bedrooms. It's little wonder that they have a hard time forging that kind of deep, meaningful friendship with one another that will last a lifetime. But that's one of the beautiful benefits of homeschooling. Our kids are together for the vast majority of every day and have been their entire lives, so they've really learn to depend on one another for fellowship and camaraderie. And although they normally get lots of interaction with others outside our family, homeschooling has enabled us to make good the threat. If you can't get along with your siblings, you can't spend time with other friends, which has been our family rule from day one. And it really motivates our kids, not just to resist the temptation to bicker, but to truly love and appreciate and forge deep bonds with their siblings. As we've always told them, friends come and go. The person who is your best buddy or most kindred spirit today could move away tomorrow, but your brothers and sisters are going to remain your brothers and sisters for life. And last of all, if you're interested in helping your kids cultivate lasting friendships with their siblings, you'll want to start ASAP. Give those friendships fertile ground to grow in, attend to weeds as soon as they spring up, and be vigilant to protect your children from all those environmental toxins that are so prevalent in our day and age, like the omnipresent lure of digital devices we discussed earlier, but also guard against outside friends who would try to poison them against their family. When problems arise, address them head on. Ask questions. Explore motives. Don't just assume kids are going through a stage and that they'll be friendly when they're older. Encourage them to begin building that friendship now, today. If your youngest child is still in diapers, so much the better. Let your other children hold the baby with age-appropriate supervision. Tell them what a great big brother or sister they're going to be. Imagine with them the adventures that they'll be able to have together when the baby grows. You can't slap siblings away with a hands-off, don't touch attitude when the baby is little and expect them to be excited about spending time with her when she's bigger. Even if your children are older and haven't previously been close, there's still hope. Instill in them a vision for what a powerful opportunity they have to influence their younger brothers and sisters for good. That season lasts for such a short while. Urge them to make the most of it. Use whatever suggestions in this episode resonate most and restructure how you do life with your kids. Lead the way, set the example, be consistent, and define your expectations. Then give them freedom to plan some adventures. Be patient, be supportive, stay in God's word, stay on your knees, and don't give up. Thanks so much for listening today. If you have a question you'd like to hear covered on this podcast, message me on Instagram at Flanders_family or contact me through my website, lovinglifeathome.com. Before you go, if you've been encouraged by something you've heard on the show, do me a favor and forward the link to a friend or head over to Loving Life at Home on Apple iTunes to subscribe and leave a written review of the show. Your doing so will help others find me so they can listen too. Until next time, I pray the Lord will bless your efforts to build a loving home life centered on Him.